Hello, you're listening to Talking Practice Efficiency, a mini podcast series. I'm Kat Bond and I head up Partner Consulting and Success here at Xero. Something we've been talking about a lot at Xero is practice efficiency and the idea of a high-performing practice. So much so, in fact, that this became a key theme for our recent Xero roadshows. At each roadshow event, we spoke to a local partner who we believe to have a high-performing practice, and we explored with them the digital journey that they've been on and the role they see cloud software playing in their practice in the future. At our London roadshow, Marcus Bambridge, a partner consulting manager, spoke to Dale Rodriguez, the systems advisory manager from Creston Reeves. This practice is over 200 years old, but they're constantly finding new ways to evolve. Dale told Marcus about the tools and ecosystems they've set up to drive efficiencies and improvements in their business. As you'll hear, leaning into technology has enabled them to free up time and space for more advisory conversations and expand what staff at the practice actually do on a day-to-day basis. They often review their choice of software and communicate this decision internally so any member of staff can be on message with clients about why they're using a particular piece of tech. So here's Dale in conversation with Marcus to tell us more.
Dale, thank you so much for joining me. Should we just start off? Do you want to give a bit of an introduction about yourself and the practice?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Dale. I'm a systems advisory manager at Creston Reeves. Important note, I'm not actually an accountant. So, yeah.
No, that works well. So what is it that you do?
So my background is in web development, and essentially I've migrated into IT consultation. So I did that for myself as a sole trader for a while. And I noticed there was an opportunity within the accounting space to deliver kind of more advisory work, specifically around apps, fintech, and going beyond the finance function. And Creston Reeves has seen the opportunity to give advisory, again, beyond finance, beyond just fintech. And that's why they employed me, to help clients with other things other than fintech.
Very, very forward thinking. So we're going to get into the Xero story in a minute and kind of how you use some of the ecosystem and that sort of thing. But before we do, what does high performance mean to you? What do you think of in terms of a high performance practice?
That's a really good question. And I think there's a lot of factors involved in what makes a high performing practice. So is it turnover? Is it profit? Is it staff retention? I think it's a lot of things combined. From my perspective, a high performing practice is a practice that has clients that trust the team implicitly to advise on all aspects of their finance, especially fintech. I'm biased, obviously. But yeah, one of the things I've noticed is clients can be quite resistant to listening to their advisors when it comes to fintech, which is quite strange because, I don't know, when we take our cars to the garage and the mechanic says, I'm going to use this kind of oil in your car. Actually, they probably don't even tell you, they just do it. No one questions it, right? We trust their expertise. But I found within the sector, like some clients can be quite resistant to their accountant saying, look, you should use this particular product. Which, if you think about it, is a little bit strange because everyone in this room are the experts on the process and the flows that work for clients. But yeah, having clients trust that process,
yeah, absolutely,
for me is high performance. They trust us through tax, they trust us all these other things, VAT. They should also trust us with their workflows for their finance function.
Yeah, it's a similar analogy which we've used before in the past with, say, the plumber. They come to your house and, you know, come to fix the boiler. You wouldn't tell them what spanner to use, would you? You know, well, you might do, but
I wouldn't.
No, quite. Are there any other areas of high performance which you kind of have in mind?
So we often look at the apps that go outside of Xero, so the ecosystem. So we have like a supplier vetting process. One of the things we've had issues with in the past was a partner going to a roadshow, meeting with a supplier and going, that's a really good idea, throwing down their card, and we end up with, I don't know, four different OCR applications, right, which isn't great. So we have a process where we literally ask everyone in the firm, from juniors to partners, what do you need in a system? I'm using OCR as an example, it's the most recent one we've done, weighting the different aspects of the product and then scoring them on a scale of 1 to 5, as in what's the most needed, so 5 being the most important, 1 being a nice to have, and then scoring that aspect out of 10. And what that does is it gives us a clear, confident way of saying this is the best app for that particular service, and also helps us to sell it to clients because we can actually show them that result as well. So it's not just a case of we're Creston Reeves and we're choosing this because we like it. It's a case of actually, we've done some due diligence in that and we can advise effectively.
We're going to dig into your kind of ecosystem, you know, makeup a little bit later on. So we'll come back to that point in just a moment. But if we just rewind the tape, I know you weren't at Creston Reeves when kind of Xero was first brought in, but From your understanding of kind of where it's kind of come from, what were the main drivers when you were first looking at kind of digitization in the practice? What were the first things which kind of originated that whole discussion?
Yeah, so I know one of the things Xero did and still do really, really well is that kind of human aspect. So for a lot of people, like, tech isn't actually that interesting. It's interesting for me because I'm a geek. But the partner consultants, so we work with, we've got Dan Marshall and Kelly O'Leary, right? They're awesome. And they've helped us, like, humanize the experience for our team internally. And I think that's one of the biggest tricks that software vendors can do, right? It's actually coming in to a business and making sure they understand the day-to-day, not just the financial metrics or other metrics that are being measured, but actually getting to know people. And I know that's something that Xero have done and, again, still do really, really well. That's made a huge difference.
Yeah.
And that's probably what drove the change specifically for Xero.
And was there anything in particular around kind of like the move away from old tech to new tech that, you know, things within the practice that you wanted to change, like ways of servicing clients?
Yeah, I know it sounds like a bit of a cliche, but advisory services, more clients want more bang for their buck. For some of our Luddite clients who still want compliance-only services, we had to kind of draw a line in the sand. I'm like, look, the only way we can service you for this, you might not want advisory, that's fine, but the only way we can actually deliver that to you is if we have less manual processes in place. So unfortunately, you can't keep dropping off pieces of paper to us. We need to get you on HubDoc, Dext. That's the only way we can keep our costs that way. And it was a conversation we had with many clients as a business perspective, business owner to business owner. Look, we also have profitability. We also have margin. This is the only way we can deliver to you. It was that simple.
Yeah, yeah. And to ask the open question, has it always been Xero?
No, it has not always been Xero. So before I joined, I don't know if anyone knows of this software called Twinfield. They actually had bank feeds a similar time to Xero. Unfortunately, they didn't innovate as much. I think we have like 20 clients still on Twinfield, but they haven't kept up. So no, it wasn't always Xero.
So if we kind of bring it forward a little bit to more kind of like the present day then, if you like, what Xero tools in particular are you kind of using within the practice at the moment?
For us, it's predominantly core Xero. So we have a lot of ledger slots that we use, for example, in bureau licenses. Again, the bank feeds are standard. Everyone knows they're amazing. We still use HubDoc. Whilst Dext is what we recommend to clients, there's still a place for HubDoc for those clients who don't need as much functionality. But yeah, for us, it's mostly core Xero.
Okay. And is there anything in kind of towards the back end of that workflow that you use for kind of the compliance element?
Thank you for the reminder. That's yeah. Right. So we also use Xero Tax for FRS 105. Not all of our clients, but we are migrating for FRS 105. So traditionally, we use Caseware, which is quite a large product. But we're finding just having everything in one place within Xero, from the books to the working papers, all in Xero, makes it much easier. And again, for us, where we've got 7 different offices and having that uniformity, it makes it much easier because you can get someone in the London office, someone in the Brighton office can actually work on a set of accounts much easier.
Yeah, totally. Have you noticed kind of any particular gains in terms of the speed of that workflow going through? I know you touched on kind of like HubDoc and Dext. That one is usually the first thing which people see, isn't it, in terms of that speed of data capture and information going in. How has that kind of carried on through the rest of the workflow?
So for two things, it's left more space for us to actually have more face-to-face client meetings. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. Like, we've actually increased the number of meetings we've had in the last 2 years because we haven't had to type stuff in. Off the back of that, our customer satisfaction, like Net Promoter Score, has gone up because we're able to deliver accounts closer to the client year end. I know one of my colleagues delivered a set of accounts within 10 days of the year end. And that was for a sizable client, not just like a sole trader. That was a limited company with at least £1 million turnover.
Yeah.
And again, that's because we had everything in place. They were using Xero to get that efficiency and get everything done. It was already there for them to do the accounts.
Yeah, no, totally, totally. I told you I'd come back to it. You touched on the ecosystem point kind of earlier in terms of the apps that you've got around. And I know that you've got that really kind of quite advanced vetting process that you go through to build those app stacks. Could you give us a bit of an overview of what that app stack is in terms of, like, you know, who the big players are as part of that breadth of products that you use?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone can see it, but I've got a t-shirt on with pretty much our 6 providers. So we've got Dext as the core, Xero's middle, Dext Prepare, Dext Precision, Fathom for reporting, and Approval Max, and Expensify. And the reason why we've kind of selected down to a smaller group, what we want to do is we want to make systems advisory a core service for all of our clients. And with the vetting process I mentioned before, what it enables us to do is have a kind of a tagline that anyone in the firm can use, which essentially is, we at Creston Reeves use Fathom for reasons X, Y, Z. There are other products and services out there, like Fluidly, other competitors. But the reason why we do this is because of this, this, and this. And then we can share those results with the clients. And it basically makes the whole app advisory piece easy enough for almost anyone at the firm to do. Because obviously we've got people who are doing tons of accounts, doing tons of bookkeeping. They don't necessarily have time to, I don't know, come to roadshows or have time to go on every single Xero training course or learn about every single app. But we have a team called the Digital Heroes team who have time allocated within their week, within their month, to look at these systems and provide that review process so that anyone within the firm can say, we use it for this, trust us, we're Creston Reeves, and here's the evidence to back it.
So is that just the process which happens at the start when you're kind of selecting the app, or is that an ongoing process?
It's an ongoing process. So every 2 to 5 years, we do a hard review of the apps. It won't necessarily mean that we change who our preferred providers are, but it means that we have enough knowledge and experience within the set to say, look, we've looked at everything, and we can explain and confidently say to people, look, we've looked at it, we've measured it, this is what is best. And the 2 years is actually based on a hardware premise. So I don't know if anyone knows about Moore's Law, invented or came about from a guy called Gordon Moore, one of the founders of Intel. He predicted that the speed of processing and CPUs would increase every 2 years. Now, it's been slightly debunked. The reason why it's used is it's a very good measure of whenever hardware changes, software kind of also upgrades. So every 2 years, every 2 to 5 years is a good way of looking at system and process.
Yeah, no, great, great. So just kind of doing a slightly deeper dive on a couple of those, you know, apps that you do use. Are there any which kind of really jump out in terms of ones that have been particularly good for the practice or ones that have been particularly good for clients? Have you got a couple of use cases?
I would say so for the practice, OCR, hands down. But it does have a knock-on effect to clients. But again, essentially, not typing stuff in means there's less margin of error, there's less time wasted typing stuff in, so it just makes it so much easier. And for some of our more tech-savvy clients, they appreciate not having to drive to our offices. Mm-hmm. In terms of value add and the advisory piece, again, I'm going to mention Fathom again. With many of our clients, we're now making it a standard report package, right? So we'll use Xero, we'll get the figures out of Xero and put them to Fathom, and it's actually helped us win more business advisory work. So for some of those clients, again, that wanted compliance only, we've given them a first taster Fathom report, for example, and they've gone, oh, that's really cool. Can I get that next quarter? Yes, you can. By the way, it's just a little extra. Yeah, and the margin line's pretty good, so.
Wow, okay. Any others?
We use HubDoc occasionally.
Yeah.
Intensify.
Yeah.
I missed one. Hold on.
Capitalize.
Yeah. Apologies.
Just working through your T-shirt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Capitalize, again, massive help, especially with like this current climate and after COVID, clients were looking for funding. And similar to Xero, what Capitalize have done really, really well is they've got a partner consulting team that we can give them the basic information they need and they work with us. Again, it's not our accounts team or client care team having to run around and chase things up, but they'll come back to us with a result. And that's been a huge bonus. Like, it's definitely helped retain clients as well.
I think the interesting side to this is that you're very much running kind of like the compliance element of like data capture Xero and then into Xero tax kind of as one. And then there's like this more customer-facing advisory side, which is running alongside. You've got them really quite nicely knitted together, haven't you, in terms of how that's working?
Yeah, I mean, you can't do the advisory stuff unless you have efficiencies in the compliance and data capture stuff. Like, it's really not physically possible. Like, when we run the numbers, when we look at our utilization, recovery, all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
The only clients that we've managed to get recovery on is when they've had some kind of input that is automated for then us to give the advisory time, actual time of meeting with them face-to-face, which is the stuff that we all like doing.
Absolutely, yeah. I know there's sessions later on today on Xero tax, and 20 minutes is never going to be enough time to kind of dig into all of that, but so we'll save some of that for a little bit later on. But from this kind of way that you've obviously made pretty substantial time savings and created that extra capacity within the practice, what have you used that time for? What's it enabled you to do more of effectively?
Some of it's been non-tangible things. So again, every year we do kind of staff feedback forums and that kind of stuff. And we've just seen people are happier. They've got less time pressure to do things or deliver work, which means they feel better in of themselves. So again, enhancing people's mental health and well-being, massive tick in the box. We've been able to just have more face time with clients, and that's just made us way more sticky. We've had less clients leaving. You know, it happens to everybody, but we've seen a reduction in that, which is great.
And it's that point, isn't it, like you say, with Fathom, with reporting. It's not just putting a report in front of a client. You almost need that space as well to be able to go through it with them, don't you, and have that discussion. So are there any other things kind of outside of the time savings which you'd say have kind of been benefits to the practice?
So from a work perspective, I touched on it before, where we've got seven different offices, we used to have a slightly disjointed way of working. And where we've made Xero kind of our base product for a certain client type with SME clients, it just means that we can share the workload better and faster. So initially, it would require an email to someone, say, so-and-so's off sick, blah, 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 can you get access to this file? Is there a password on it? All that kind of stuff. Not needed anymore. It's literally just add that person to that Xero. There's usually working papers or notes in the Xero already, which is, you know, best practice. And that job can get done and completed without that person being there. So that's been a massive help.
Awesome. So if we kind of cast our eye forward then now in terms of the future, and I know from kind of working with you in the past that there's lots of like big ideas. What's kind of next for you in terms of the journey? What's kind of the next bright idea that you've got coming along?
For me personally or Creston Reeves?
You carry on and we'll...
I would be remiss if I didn't mention AI. Like, we're looking into it for very basic things. So, for example, calendar scheduling, right? Sounds like a really small thing, but I think we've all done it where we've had more than three people trying to get their calendar sorted, difficult. AI, type in the calendar names, turns out, gives you the best available time slots. Very simple, quick, easy win that isn't crazy on data privacy. That's one thing. For Creston Reeves, it's also building out our advisory service. So one of the things that the technology has enabled us to do is hire more people like me. Again, non-accountants who maybe have a different perspective on how to work and consult with clients to deliver a service that is, again, just more robust and more sticky.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, isn't it, in terms of the slightly evolving and new roles which are coming into the industry. So,
yeah, I mean, we've also got, like I said, our Digital Heroes team. And again, we've got some kind of like our younger juniors, for example, who are still training, who, again, if you look at their timesheets, for example, which I hate, but if you look at their timesheets, more and more of it's spent on, again, systems advisory stuff, the non-traditional accounting work.
Yes, no, totally. And timesheets is a topic for a whole nother day, isn't it? A whole nother session, which we can go into. Talking of time, we have kind of squeezed as much as we possibly can into this 20 minutes. It was never going to be enough time to kind of cover everything in a huge amount of depth. But thank you so much for kind of taking the time to sit here and talk through some of those ideas, particularly around the improvements that you've made. I've certainly learned quite a bit, and we've spoken in the past, and there's some new bits which have popped up. I hope you've all found it quite useful as well in terms of some of the ideas that Dale shared. So Dale, I'll invite you to move on to the next session, but thank you so much for having me on stage.
You've been listening to Talking Practice Efficiency. Next time, hear from Claire Davis from PJE Chartered Accountants about how they embrace digital practices to become leaders in online accounting. See you then.